It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It is your old buddy Luke Clayton, and it is time to talk outdoors here on KETR. You know, we have 15 minutes twice a week on Wednesdays at 11 and then at noon on Saturdays to talk about hunting and fishing and outdoor-related subjects. We're going to talk with a buddy of mine, guide Bob Holmes, who's never been with us here on public radio, but I have fished with Bob for 10 or 12 years, and Bob's got an awesome fish recipe, fish tacos, that he's going to tell you about. Now, the first portion of our show is underwritten by Young's Wilderness Camp up in Ontario, Canada. It's located up on Lake of the Woods in Ontario. The website is youngswildernesscamp.com. Now, let's talk some outdoor cooking and some fishing. Bob, are you with us this morning, sir?
Yes, sir. Good morning, everybody.
We're glad to have you, Bob. And I dare say a lot of the folks up in Northeast Texas listening has probably fished with you down at Richland Chambers. You've been fishing down there for, been fishing a long time, but I think you've been guiding 12 years or so, haven't you?
Since 1999, I've been guiding here.
Well, Bob, we just had a trip. My grandsons and I were down there and got to visit with you, and you put them on some awesome white bass, some sand bass fishing, and they're still talking about it. What I want for us to talk about first is those awesome fish tacos that you cook. You've taught me how to make fish tacos, and I want to make sure all of our listeners learn how to do it. I guess there's a lot of different variations, you know. But you start out with a taco shell, and you use the ones that are flat on the bottom, don't you?
Yeah, you don't have to fight them as much. They stand up for you, and you seem like you can get a little more in them, you know. They're just kind of flat on the bottom, and you can load them up real easy. You take, you know, three or four pieces of small fillets to kind of make a good taco. I stuff them pretty full, really. And, you know, Luke, I was telling you, I got to doing it after I'd eat fish one day and have leftovers and coming out of the refrigerator cold. You can put them in your taco shells and put them in your little oven for about 8 minutes. Come out and the shell's hot and the fish are hot. And then with these gardens coming in strong, you can load them up with all the good vegetables. I just use coleslaw because it's cabbage and everything. And As soon as I get them out of the toaster oven, I spread a little tartar sauce on top of those fillets and then cover them with coleslaw and then fresh tomatoes and onions and make a little diced jalapeno. But, you know, you were saying cilantro would be good on them. And you can just go any direction on them.
You can, Bob.
Good with that crunch.
And I think that fish tacos, they're so easy. And they're pretty healthy too, depending on how you cook them. You know, they're just a healthy meal, but they're so easy to cook. And say you have a fish fry, well, what you do is just put some put some fillets back from that fish fry in the evening in your refrigerator, and you're ready for a noon meal the next day. Now, so fried fish, I can testify after trying yours out, that's awesome. They're really, really tasty. Our buddy Mark Bellette, here's another way that I'll tell you, and I'm sure you've probably tried them this way. They're also good like this. Mark takes a cast iron skillet and puts a little olive oil in there and a little butter, unsalted butter. Well, he'll take a handful of fish fillets, depending on how many people that's going to eat that he's cooking for. And he'll take the fish fillets and season them with taco seasoning, you know, just regular, the little packets that you buy, you know, the taco seasoning. And he'll cook them, you know, more or less saute the fish in the olive oil and butter until it's done. And then at that point, instead of the hard, crunchy shells, which are awesome, well, he uses the regular corn tortillas, Bob, you know, just the round ones. And he'll put the fish on there. And there is what you were alluding to a little earlier. You can fix them so many different ways. You could just literally with them like that, you could put some chunky salsa on there if you wanted to. Or you could put the cabbage and the way that you do yours with pico. So there's a lot of different ways that you could prepare them, isn't it?
Avocado, you know, you just go on and on. Yeah, just And, you know, it's refreshing lunch.
It's not heavy in this heat, you know, it's not a heavy lunch, is it, you know?
That's it. Fish kind of are kind of salty the way I fix them, so
yeah.
The vegetables kind of knock that down a little bit.
So. That's true. Well, Bob, let's shift gears a little bit, and let's talk about we're talking about how to cook the fish, and you and I both love to cook, but let's talk about catching them. On the trip a couple of days ago when I had three grandsons, the interesting thing about this, folks, is two of the twin grandsons, two of the boys are 14, and I have a picture that I took with Bob when they were about 8 years old, little rascals, Bob, and they had their shirts off, and they were there with a bunch of fish, a big old hybrid that we caught that day. Well, I took another picture. They're not little bitty kids anymore. They're big old boys at 14, and then we had one of my other grandsons, Jack Zimmerman. He was with us, so we stripped his shirt off, too. I tried to duplicate that picture. Came pretty close, you know. But it was interesting, and I think, of course, you guide down there at Richardson Chambers, and you know the patterns, Bob, but we were fishing around a wooded area down there, and you were egrets, I should say, and the herons. You were keeping a close eye on them, and there weren't a lot of them. There might have been, I don't think there was more than a dozen egrets, and was it just a few birds, but they are the ones that tipped you off, right?
Yeah, they were kind of just in this little old group of woods that, you know, they know where the fish are going to come up most mornings, and they were in one of the regular spots, kind of in an open area with that long neck sticking out, you know. And
yeah.
Once they flew out there, kind of squatted on the water, you knew they were peeing.
Yeah, and we were in surfacing schooling sand bass most of the morning off and on. But you know, I think what our listeners might glean from this, Bob, is when you see the water frothing and shad popping and fish hitting the surface, the white bass, that's when you know where they are. You can visually see where they're at. But when that stops, they don't disappear, do they? They're still there, but they school up, and they'll either hang on structure or are getting some tight schools, won't they?
Yeah, that's kind of why I like to fish around those woods in the summer, because they'll lay up against a tree line, move up and down a tree line, and you'll just keep working your trolling motor up and down that tree line. And if you move off to another area, you know, you come back to that area a little bit later, and maybe they'll be kind of working in there again.
Exactly, and that's exactly what we did. I would say we only had to fish to get our limits probably 2.5 hours, 3 hours, but there would be at least half that time where you could visually see sand bass breaking the surface. And when they stopped that, you know, you had a pretty good idea where to look for them along those edges of the wood lines. And as far as baits, Bob, you've make your living catching mostly white bass throughout the year, and hybrids, of course, and I've caught catfish with you too, but I don't think anybody around fishes for white bass any more than you do. Color in a slab has got to be the most used and the most useful bait there is for catching them. Do you think color is really all that important?
Oh boy, that's a good discussion there.
Yeah,
I just know that in the summer, I always do best on chrome over chartreuse, where I'll use chartreuse through spring and fall. And when the day's sun gets really bright and not a lot of wind blowing, it's chrome just seems to outdo chartreuse. And so I feel confident with it, and that's probably what I'll use all through the summer.
Well, you know, in fishing, a lot of it is conjecture. You know, we think the thing is, nobody really knows what the whys of a lot of fish catching truths. But the fact is, you're out there every day and you know what works the best. And for some reason, it's either visibility. It must be have to do with visibility, Bob. You know, that must be the key. And as far as the size or shape, and folks, when we're saying slab, many of you know what we're talking about, but we're talking about a piece of lead, a pretty basic lure that's elongated. Is there a shape that you, we were kind of using the longer slabs, weren't we?
That longer minnow shape seems to be a little deadlier on fishing when it's a little tougher. Mm-hmm. When the fishing can be tougher, it's just, you just have a better feel for the bottom. I do. I kind of really like the slab that's shaped just like a shad.
Mm-hmm.
When the fish are schooling, that you can throw out there and just reel it back through them. It's got a little more wobble to it and everything. So when for schooling, I kind of like the shad-shaped slab. And for vertical, just dropping down, I kind of like the minnow-shaped slab just for the contact.
Yes, sir. Now, for schooling, that's, you're talking about a wider slab,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like a little fish. You
yeah.
Round on one end and narrow at the other. It just flutters better. The boys did real well on the minnow shaped slab when they were schooling. You know, they were just throwing out there reeling back.
Yeah. You know, Bob, technique is so important in catching schooling fish, but, you know, there's not any or very few absolutes to this, but when they're schooling on top, I've noticed you fish this, I fish like you do. Maybe I've picked up some pointers from you through the years, but when they're blowing up on top, I like to make a long cast. And that can be into them or past them or a long cast. And I like to hold the rod tip up high, and I like to shake it. When the lure hits the water, start shaking that rod tip and let it, and then rip it up and let it fall, rip it back. By rip it, I mean crank the reel real fast, bring it to you. And that's that flutter, when it's going down, most of the strikes hit at that point that I've noticed, you know?
Yeah, it just tricks them into biting when they see it fluttering down.
Yeah, I guess they think, well, this is a wounded one or an easy meal. And vertical, when you're vertical fishing for them, that seems very simple, and it can be. But I know if you drop that slab to the bottom and pick and work it up and make sure that you keep in contact with it, with the slab. In other words, if you were to pop it up 5 or 6 feet, and just let it flutter back down with a lot of slack in your line, no telling how many fish strikes you would get, but you'd probably miss them, wouldn't you?
Yeah. If you got a hook up, it'd be by accident.
Yeah, exactly, Bob. So the trick is on vertical fishing, and that's when sometimes when they're schooling and blowing up all around you, there might be the bite might be good near bottom. Let it hit the bottom and just work it up and let it flutter back down, Bob. I tell you what I'd like you to do is leave a website. A lot of people in Northeast Texas like to come to Richland Chambers. We've got a lot of good lakes all over, but it's a short drive down to Richland Chambers, just, you know, south of Dallas a bit. What's your website? You've got a lot of good pictures there. And then leave a phone number where folks could call you.
It's easy. It's TexasFishingGuide.net.
TexasFishingGuide.net, right?
Correct, uh-huh.
And then a good number where folks could call you.
Okay, 214-728-3310.
Well, Bob, this our shows, and I'll remind all of our listeners here that listen on KETR, our shows are archived for a long, long time. I'm not sure how long the management leaves them up, but they're there for months. So just remember, if you miss some of the tips from Guide Bob Holmes or some of these cooking tips especially, go to KETR.org, and at the top it's local programs, and we'll have a picture of Bob Holmes right there on the website, and you can click on that and you can learn how to make the fish tacos. Bob, thank you very much for being with us, sir. I tell you what, folks, we are out of time. Do remember, Young's Wilderness Camp underwrites our show, and you can go online to youngswildernesscamp.com. Now, they're located on Lake of the Woods, which is just north of the Canadian and U.S. border up there. The website is youngswildernesscamp.com. So until this time next week, have fun and be safe in the outdoors.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.